Please turn in the Word of God to John's Gospel, chapter 1. If you're using one of the Bibles provided, it's on page 1068. I want to read the first 18 verses of this portion of God's Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Then we turn on over in the New Testament towards the back of the New Testament to the book of Philippians. It's found on page 1179 as a portion, 1180 of the Bibles. 1180. Paul is writing here to the church at Philippi, and he's telling them as to the attitude that they should have with respect to each other. Chapter 2, verse 1. "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every name should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And then I want to read to you from 1 Peter chapter 2. It's found on page 1221. 1221. It's a portion that many of you have read this past week and studied in the Met Bible study groups concerning the necessity for us to be not only lovers of each other, but to be submissive to those whom God has placed in authority over us. Reading from verse 21. For to this you have been called. Chapter 2, verse 21. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This morning I want to draw your attention particularly to the 24th verse of the second chapter of the letter that Peter wrote to those who are scattered abroad. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. He. Who is the he? The he is the one whom we read of in John chapter 1. And in John chapter 1, John tells us two astonishing facts about who this he is. First, he tells us that this he was with God in the beginning. So we are not looking here at a man who has a conception date and a birth. We're looking at a man whose life preceded his conception. He is the only human being to have lived before he lived. He is, we read in verse 1 of chapter 1 of John's Gospel, the Word. He was with God, and he was and is God. Jesus Christ was and is God. Jesus Christ was and is with God. He was with God in the beginning. Before anything existed, when only God existed, Jesus Christ was. He was the creator of all things. John tells us, verse 3, all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ was with God in the beginning. He was God in the beginning. He created with God all that we see and experience today. We have life because Jesus Christ was with God in the beginning when God formed man and breathed life into man's nostrils. Verse 4 of John's Gospel. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. It is really, really important for you today to realize that we are talking here about God. We're talking about God. The second amazing thing that John tells us in the 14th verse of John chapter 1 is that God became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ lived in a pre-incarnate person, but then he became a human being. And we have seen in our recent studies in Luke, and we shall see in our studies, not next Lord's Day, because I'm in Edinburgh next Lord's Day, because Peter's away and Philip will be preaching next Lord's Day here. But next Lord's Day evening and the following Lord's Day, we will see how that conception that we have read about in Luke's Gospel, how the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, then gave rise to the birth of this child, Jesus Christ. Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and he tells us in Philippians chapter 2, what took place, what happened when God left the glory and came to earth in the person of a son. Paul says that Jesus Christ, who was equal with God, did not consider that equality with God something to be tenaciously held on to with white knuckles, fingertips biting in to that relationship, but that he, instead of that, he made himself nothing. Jesus Christ, who was with God in the beginning, who was God in the beginning, through whom all of creation was made, did not consider equality with God something that to be held on to at all costs. But he voluntarily, at the express will of God the Father, took the decision to leave heaven and come to earth. It was a decision which he took. It was a decision which he voluntarily took. And when the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, the virgin, and this child was conceived without the descendancy of sin from the generation of man, from Adam, the child in the womb, Jesus Christ, was there. Having made himself nothing, having chosen to be born in the likeness of man and found in human form, what a staggering reality. that 2,000 years ago, a young teenage girl, a virgin, carried in her womb, in the person of Jesus Christ, the Creator of heaven and earth. That when that child was born, He who had given the multiplicity of languages to the world and the scattering of the tower that filled following the building of the Tower of Babel, He had to actually learn how to talk. He who had designed man had to learn how to crawl and to walk. He had to be taught how to feed himself. Here is God making himself nothing. Here is God coming in the form of a man. Here is God being found as a servant. He came not to a place of prominence, not to rule over all the earth, not to gather together a mass army. He came to live in a home, in a town of no significance, in a region that was despised, under the leadership and the headship of a man who was a carpenter. Here is God in the person of Jesus Christ. He himself, Peter says, He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. What is sin? Sin entered the world when Adam rebelled against God. And sin has affected every single human being who has lived since that day, with the exception of one human being, Jesus Christ, for he was not born of the seed of man from Adam. Sin is deliberate rejection of the ways of God, and sin is therefore punishable by God. God made man to live and to glorify him. God made man to enjoy him. Man was placed in a perfect environment. He was perfect in his body. He was perfect in his mind. He was perfect in his soul. He was perfect in his work opportunities. He was perfect in his relationship with his wife. He was perfect in his relationship with the animals. He was perfect in the relationship with the environment around him. Sin entered the world when man deliberately chose to reject the sovereign rule of God, the providential, blessed rule of God in his life, and he said, I will do what I want to do. And every human being who is born since has lived that out. Every day of their lives, they have willfully and deliberately, because their mind, God tells us, is hostile to God, their hearts are against God, their wills rebel against the benevolent good grace of God. Staggering and unbelievable as that may seem, unreasonable, irrational as that may be, that man would reject the goodness of God, that man would deliberately throw it back in God's face, it makes no sense whatsoever, and yet it is the reality of every single human being who has lived on the world. And because of man's deliberate rejection of the benevolent grace and love of God, man then has to suffer the consequences of that rebellion, and that rebellion is met with a punishment from God. That punishment is real. That punishment happens during the duration of man's life. Sin steals from man his beauty. It steals his health. It steals his joy. It steals his ease. It steals his years. It steals the joy of relationships. It steals the joy of his relationship with God and other people. Man, God hands man over to the consequences of his rebellion. That rebellion, that sin, will be punished. Punished by the wrath of God. It will be a real punishment, and it will be a horrific punishment. It is punishable by death, eternal separation from God, and eternal punishment from God. And yet we read here in the 24th verse of 2 Peter that he, God, in the person of his Son, bore our sins in his body on the tree. What does that mean? He bore our sins in his body. It means that he took our place. He took the punishment that was due to us, warrantable, just punishment. He took that from us. He stepped into our shoes. How? He did it because he could. And he did it because he wanted to. He was without sin, therefore he could step into our shoes. If he had sinned, then he would have been due the punishment for his own sin. But because he knew no sin, as we read and we read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth, and because he was without sin, he was then in a position to take the punishment that was due to his people for their sin. There have been many people, many men who have laid down their lives for their friends. There have been many historic, heroic accounts of men in battles who have thrown themselves into the face of imminent death in order to save colleagues in the battlefield. And they have been awarded military crosses for doing so. Genuine heroic acts. Jesus' act was not a heroic act. Each person who dies in a heroic act dies because they would die anyway. They are sinners. God bore our sins because he was without sin and could do so, and because he loved us and willingly accepted the command of God to go to the cross at Calvary. John writes about it in 1 John chapter 3, 4, where he says, in this the love of God was made manifest among us. In this the love of God was made clear to us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation means to be the wrath bearer, to take the punishment that is due to us for our sins. Jesus Christ alone could be the wrath bearer for our sins, because Jesus Christ alone was sinless, and Jesus Christ alone was therefore in a position to take the punishment for our sin. Each and every other human being who has lived has been a sinner and is therefore due punishment. Jesus Christ was not due any punishment. So when he offered himself as a substitutionary sacrifice, he did so because he loved us and he loved the Father and he obeyed the command of God the Father. And in giving his life up as an atonement sacrifice for our sins, he redeemed us back, having paid the penalty for our sins, having borne the wrath of God for our sins. He redeemed us back into relationship with God. He reconciled us to God. He bore our sins on the tree. The tree, the cross, was a cross of suffering. Historians tell us that it was the most excruciating way to die. The purpose of crucifixion was simple: to kill as slowly and as painfully as possible. No vital organs were touched so that the death would drag out for as long as possible. Ordinarily, it took a man 3 days to die as his body collapsed in on itself. The cross and death on a cross was death in an excruciating way. Jesus Christ, God in the person of his Son, bore the wrath of God for the sin of his people on the cross. He carried a portion of the cross. And then, being unable to do so, another man carried for him. He was laid out on that cross, on his back. Spikes, inch long, were driven into his wrists. A wooden plank was placed under his backside. That wasn't to give comfort. That was to prevent the body from being ripped as it was hung up, because it was held by the wrists. The body would have ripped, the weight of the body would have ripped the body off at the wrists. So the board was placed there, not for comfort, but to actually hold the person there so that they would take longer to die. The cross meant shame. The cross was a death that was devised by the Persians, taken up by the Romans, as a means to demonstrate and put down both their authority and any rebellion. Only the worst of criminals and terrorists were crucified. Crucifixions always took place in prominent places. The person to be crucified would be walked around a route that would mean that everybody in that community would see them. The victim would be stripped naked almost. People would gather round and they would laugh and they would jeer and they would mock. This is what happened to God in the person of his Son as he voluntarily bore the sins of our rebellion against the loving God. The cross meant separation. In the Old Testament, God told his people in Deuteronomy, if a man has committed a crime punishable by death and he is to be put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body will remain not remain on a tree, but you shall bury him that same day, for a man hanged is cursed by God. You shall not defile your land that the Lord your God is giving you for inheritance. Jesus was put to death on the cross at the request of the Jewish leadership because they knew that this was a public statement of curse by God. Peter, speaking to that Jewish leadership after the death of Jesus, says to them concerning the fact that when you killed him by hanging him on a tree, and he used those words deliberately to remind them of the fact that they had gone to the Roman authorities to get Jesus put to death in the most suffering, shameful, and God-hated way of death. It meant separation from God. We sang together from Psalm 22, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you turned your back on me?" It wasn't that Jesus didn't know what was happening. He was fully conscious and fully aware. "Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? O God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest." God, who is there in the person of a Son as the Word of the creation of the world, who created human beings, who humbled himself, coming to earth, took upon himself the form of a man, who lived as a human being for 30 years, then exercised a ministry that became nationally known in a 3-year period, teaching with amazing power and healing thousands of people, affecting their lives, bore our sins, your sin and my sin, on the cross, suffering, shame-filled hatred, separation from God. "I count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid." This is Jesus Christ. He himself bore our sins on the tree.